Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
On the day that should have marked the first of a three-game series between Wichita State and Creighton in baseball, instead we are left with baseball memories, and to that end, we go to the KFH hotline and talk to a former first baseman at Wichita State in his 2 years as a Shocker, hit .326, clubbed 28 home runs, and went on to a couple of years in the minors with the Oakland A's. We say good morning to Jason White. Jason, first of all, I hope you're well. Good to catch up with you. How are you?
Good morning, Shane. Doing well, and likewise for you and Bruce. Hope everyone is doing well and staying safe.
We are. Thank you. And proud owner of 5 stolen bases in his Shocker career as well, Jason White.
Know your role, Shane.
2 out of 2, your first year in 1991. Hey, tell us all why you're only a 2-year member of the program and your kind of long and winding road that led you to Wichita and Gene giving you the chance to play in 1991.
Coming out of Midwest City, Oklahoma, wasn't really recruited by a lot of D1s. What offers I did have, it was to pitch. I was left-handed like yourself, and I didn't really want to go that route. Wanted to play first base so I could play every day. Went to a junior college my first year, Rose State Junior College there in my hometown. Mm-hmm. And in some of the fall ball games that we had, we played NAIA schools like Oklahoma Baptist. They offered me a position the following year to go there and play first base. So on a long and windy road, we came to Wichita at OBU. When I was at OBU, we came to Wichita the spring of 1990, pouring down rain up here. Of course, we still had turf infield at that time as well. Had a decent game against Wichita State. Went home, got an offer to come up here in the summer of 1990 to play baseball for the Wichita Aircraft Boosters.
Oh, yeah.
During the summer. And the summer I was here, Bryant Winslow decided to transfer out. So Gene was looking for a first baseman. The summer of 90, Brent and Gene both came out and watched me play a few games, made me an offer to come up and finish my career at Wichita State. And it's hard to believe that that was 30 years ago, and I never went home. So Wichita's a great town. It's been good to me, and obviously the people around here are awesome.
So you walk into a situation, Jason, where Wichita State really is at the peak of its powers. They win a national championship 2 years previous, and here you are in one of the top 10 easily or higher programs in the country. That had to have been a little bit of a pinch me moment.
Oh, absolutely, Bruce. I was actually in the stands at Wichita State at X Stadium during the 1990 regional watching Wichita State play Georgia Southern. And, of course, wow. You know, there's 7,000 people in the stands, and I'm sitting there thinking, it doesn't get any better than this. Mm-hmm. I mean, This is awesome. And then a year later, I'm standing on the field in front of the same number of people. Absolutely the best time of my baseball career.
Jason's first year in 1991 hit .337, hit 13 home runs and 65 RBIs in a team that won 66 games. Now, I know that is a season record that will never be eclipsed just because of the limit of games now. But to put it into perspective a little bit, team batting average that year, .334. That's still tied for ninth best all-time in program history. Tied for sixth best for most hits per game at 11.6. What do you remember about the guys around you position player wise anyway, around you in that lineup, Jason?
With the numbers you just stated, Shane, I hit eighth in the lineup. You know, you had Mirabelli, Doug Mirabelli, Billy Hall, Chris Wimmer, Mike Jones, Jim Oddley, Todd Dreifert, Scott McLuhan. I mean, it was a packed lineup of All-Americans as well as great guys. Playing first base, I didn't have to range very far, which you've already mentioned my stolen base record. So with Billy Hall over on the right side with me, if it was hit to the right side, Billy, I mean, he swept it up. But just the camaraderie of the guys, you know, having the success that the team had in 1989, not going back to the World Series in 1990, everybody was hungry in 1991. And, I mean, Mike Jones was a huge leader on the team, along yep. with, you know, Jim Oddley and some of the guys that had been there and done that. So it was a great to be a part of it. You know, it was everywhere you look. All-American here, All-American there. I think Billy Hall and Chris Wimmer led the nation in stolen bases that year. So, you know, it's just a great to be a part of.
Jason White joining us, of course, 2 years, just a tremendous anchor in that infield at first base, and such a good power hitter as well. Such a good hitter, period. 91, so many layers to unpack here. But more than anything, and Shane's timeliness here is a good one, it was defined before we got to Omaha, well, the regional, and then into Omaha. It was defined by the rivalry with Creighton. It was one of those rare years that there was actually someone in the Valley that could compete with Wichita State, kind of mano a mano. Creighton had that kind of ball club. They had guys, they had major league guys in the lineup, and they had really good pitching. It was a really good ball club. And to have gone, and obviously 8-0 by the time that we played them twice, you know, in the postseason and stuff, but to be able to beat them the way that we beat them, that Wichita State was able to beat them, to me, is one of the things I remember most about that season before we get to the throw and playing in the national championship game and all of that stuff.
Absolutely. And Bruce, you can say you were part of it. You were right there with us on the field before the game.
I hear you. Okay. You're kind. Thank you.
Exactly. But, no, I mean, I look back and to your point, Bruce, to think about going 8-0 against that team over that stretch of 1991, and to look back, like you said, at the players that they had, Scott Stachowiak, you know, Chad McConnell, a future Olympian, Alan Bennis, you know, a major league pitcher. I mean, they were stacked on their side of the ledger as well. And to look back and realize that we did beat them 8 times in 1 year, it was good to live in Wichita and not so good to live in Omaha that year.
Yeah, no. You're not lying. And you and I were talking before you came on the air, maybe the pinnacle before the throw was the game that we played against them downtown during the River Festival. And for as fun as a packed X Stadium is, I don't want to say that Lawrence Dumont Stadium packed was better, but with the flyover and the fact that we beat the pants off of them again 13-1 in the championship game down at LD, that's a game I'll never forget, in addition to the ones in the World Series, but that one was really special too.
Yeah, I agree with you, Shane. I mean, playing again in front of, you know, 7,500 to 8,000 people during Riverfest, the weather was perfect, the flyover with the B1 coming down the river, that was the highlight of my career regarding baseball up until obviously going to Omaha a few weeks later. But the environment, you know, back in the day, they didn't sell beer at X Stadium during 1991 series. I think that was the year that the NCAA banned it. But during Riverfest, of course, we all know Riverfest brings out the best.
Sure.
And it was quite the environment.
Yeah, it really was. And then to go to Omaha a couple of weeks later, and my perspective is different for you guys. You guys were obviously between the lines, and I was covering that World Series. I will never forget walking down the line at Rosenblatt before the game against Creighton, Wichita State and Creighton, that first game, and the line of people, and I'd been a veteran of Rosenblatt and had been there many times, and I'd never seen a game that was as anticipated for the College World Series up to that point. And obviously, it was Creighton, Wichita State, two highly ranked teams, but also Wichita State, Creighton, the programs knew each other, the rivalry, friendships within the coaching staff, and all of the things went with it. But the line went, and if people don't remember, Rosenblatt was built up on a hill. The line went all the way from the gate, all the way down the hill for people trying to get in hours before. It was like all of a sudden Omaha had discovered that they had this really good baseball team, and my God, they're playing in the College World Series at Rosenblatt. I knew that night was going to be something incredible. Obviously, I couldn't have imagined what it ended up being. But that game, Jason, for so many people, is still the greatest college baseball game ever played.
I would totally agree with that statement as well, Bruce. I mean, to know that there's 18,000 people in the stadium, and Shocker fans are part of the best fans in the nation. I mean, we traveled well, you know, with baseball, but it felt like there were 17,500 cheering against us. And yeah. I remember the first play of the game vividly. Their leadoff hitter laid down a bunt down the third base line. Mike Jones, which wasn't routinely for him, but he accidentally threw one over my head. And it felt like the stadium was going to fall apart. It was that loud.
Mm-hmm.
They were on a roll. We were on a roll. Two programs, like you said, that respected each other off the field as well as on the field, but really didn't care for each other on the field. Again,
sure.
It was a unique environment to be playing Creighton in Omaha during 1991.
Should be pointed, Jason White, our guest here, a former first baseman, recalling the 1991 run to the national championship game. Should be pointed out that about 16,500 of those fans were seeing their first Creighton baseball game.
No question about it.
But that's okay.
Hey,
yeah.
But it's okay. The atmosphere for that game was as electric as I've ever been in. I mean, seriously. And that includes just about anything that the electricity in that building that night was absolutely incredible. And the game continued to evolve in a way where it was close. It was competitive. People were on the edges of their seats. A play here, a play there could have changed things. It ended up producing one of the great moments in college baseball history. Jason, as you're playing this thing out, you're trying to win a game, and I would imagine that the tension was different than it felt different in the stadium than any other just normal game. And I know you're just trying to play, trying to see a pitch, trying to drive it, trying to make plays and everything else. But I would imagine playing in a game like that, there was a different kind of tension.
Well, we knew during the year that, as we played Creighton, we refused to lose. And I think hence the streak of, going 8-0 against them that year. But we knew the crowd was against us. We knew that we had not made the plays probably hitting-wise or defensively up into the point that we needed to. But a lot of people forget, Tyler Green pitched 9 innings in that game before it went to extra innings. And, Tyler and Alan Bennis going head-to-head, yes, the tension was there. You could feel the electricity. You could cut the tension with a knife. But I think what Gene and Brent and the coaching staff at that time did was we did everything so many times in practice that repetition, prepared us for that moment, leading up to the throw, for example. I'm glad I wasn't 6'5" or 6'6", because oddly threw the ball over my head. And when you have Tommy Tilma in left field and Jim Oddley in center and Todd Dreiford in right, you knew if they came up firing towards home plate, they weren't throwing it to the cutoff man. They were throwing to get the guy out at home plate. And again, you know, probably other than seeing Greg Brummett jump in Eric Wedge's arms during the 1989 championship streak, the throw will live in Wichita State baseball lore forever.
All right. Well, let me barge in on this one. All right. So you're in extra innings of a ball game that is hanging in the balance. Steve Bruns is standing on second base. Dax Jones is the hitter. This is just from memory.
Mm-hmm. So far, so good. Keep going.
Yep. Yeah, so far, so good. So take me through the play, because the game is literally, we're in extra innings now. Bloom is on the hill, right?
Yes.
At this point? So Bloom is on the hill.
And we got the greasiest run you'll ever see in the top of the 12th, too.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So take me through that moment as a player on the field, because it looked for all the world that Creighton was going to score at that point.
Well, I think as a player, they were the home team that game, and like Shane said, we were up 3-2. Steve Bruns had come in actually to pinch run, I think, for Jason Judge, who had been hit by a pitch.
Yep.
If memory serves, and so you know that they didn't put the guy on base, you know, just to play his role, that he had some speed. Well, we also knew as a team that, again, if there's a hit to the outfield and our outfielders come up throwing, let it go, because they're either gonna tie the game and we keep going into extra innings, or, again, Jim Oddly was one of the best center fielders I ever played with in 25 years. And when he came up to throw it, it was like slow motion. And obviously the results speak for themselves. So, you know, risk, reward, and we definitely got the reward with Mirabelli. Deacon, the guy at home, played, and like I said, you can go back and watch it on YouTube or whatever else, and, I mean, I still get goosebumps watching it from time to time.
You're not going to be able to hear Doug tell you cut it off anyway, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, like you said, with the amount of people that were there, you're not going to hear it, and but I tell you what, Bruce, one of the best things during the 1992 season, and when I kind of knew that Shane may go into radio or broadcasting, was he's starting to chuckle, was reliving Mike Patrick's call from ESPN. And Shane Dennis can do that to a T.O. I won't ask him to do it on the radio today.
But Mike Patrick and Larry Sorensen were on the call that day.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was Larry Sorensen. That's right.
And so that wasn't the last out of the game. Shortly thereafter, it was, who was it? Jason hit a ground ball to Wimmer, who almost let it go through his legs.
Yeah, I don't even remember. I was going to say,
Bobby Langer, I think, hit it.
Yeah, when that ball was hit to Wimmer, I was like, stay down, mm-hmm. stay down. And obviously, he fielded the ball, threw it to me at first base, and the rest is history.
Jason,
which,
by the way, on that infield wasn't automatic. That infield had a nice little lip on it, and balls took weird hops. It was just
as good as the ground screw was, you know, they had had so many games in the last few days. I think, if memory serves too, Shane, that was the year that we had the tornado.
Yeah.
That came through early in the College World Series tournament.
Well, our first game against Long Beach was delayed quite a while because of it, as
correct.
I recall.
Yeah, that's right.
Jason White, our guest here on Sports Daily, the team's record when Jason was there was 122-24 and 39-6 in the Valley. So in Jason's 2 years, he was almost 100 games over .500. We crossed paths at least once in Pro Bowl. I had to have faced you at least once, right, in the Cal League?
I think you walked me, thank goodness.
Yeah.
So
probably pissed around.
You were playing for Rancho Cucamonga, and I was at Modesto.
Yeah. Yeah, those were the days.
Good Lord.
Jason, great catching up with you, man. Stay well.
Great catching up.
And we'll reconnect down the line if we need to, huh?
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, Jason White, former first baseman at Wichita State, former teammate of mine. Shockers went 66-13 and 56-11 in the 2 years.
Shane, I forgot that Jason hit in the 8-hole.
Yeah.
He didn't always hit in the 8-hole. Not always, but.
And he sure didn't in 1992, but in 91,
no.
Yeah. Yeah, Tilma hit behind him. I want to say it was Billy, Wimmer, Doug, maybe McLuhan, then Dreifert. Oddly had to be in there somewhere, too. But, yeah, that just tells you what kind of lineup that we had in 91. Lost 13 out of 79 games, but... fell the one game short. LSU beat us 6-3 in the title game. On this day in sports history is coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.